The tech was like, I'm cutting you off. All right. Sorry, Bennett. We got a few glitches here.
Do the sound.
But it is not this day.
Is that the sound?
That's the sound of him and needing to do more edits.
It means this day we will not have a perfect show.
Wildfires sweep LA. Some blame godlessness in Hollywood, while the left blames guilelessness in capitalism. Guilelessness? No? Yeah? Get it, Gaia?
I think it's a stretch, Mother but we'll
Earth?
Take it.
Yeah,
we'll
take it. Earth? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Godlessness, goddesslessness.
Yeah.
There
it's
it is.
It's all the same thing.
You gotta laugh so you don't cry.
That's right.
It's a tragedy, man. It's pretty rough out there.
It is. It's terrible. Welcome back to another episode of Human Reaction, your weekly source for independent commentary on cultural news and politics. Today we're going to be talking all about the LA wildfire. Before we do, I'm joined by David Rand, Kyle Mack, Bennett on the buttons. My name is Joe Sheehan. Thank you for watching with us today. Please go ahead and like this video on YouTube. Wherever you are on the internet, please follow, subscribe, leave us a review if you have the time. We really, really appreciate that. It means a lot to us. And if you would like to get more involved with the show, you can get exclusive access to content that we produce every week by going to humanreactionpod.com and joining the SCIF. That's our special members-only area. In addition to that, you can also join our Discord, and there's a special SCIF members channel in the Discord as well, but there's lots of great public conversation going on there, and that's totally free. Link is in the description below.
And in the Discord here, we got a meme that's hot off the presses. We have Los Angeles on fire and Gavin Newsom going, this is fine.
This is fine. Everything's fine.
That's just rough, man.
That is pretty rough.
I just made it 5 minutes ago.
Now, to be clear, before we get into this, because we do like to pick apart all the different angles of stories like this, it should be said that this is an absolute tragedy, what's going on in LA. Mm-hmm. And of course, in no sense do we want to be making light of the hardship that people are going through. I've got friends there. I'm sure you guys have friends there. You know, Bennett has a friend there who's doing some television work. So a lot of people that we know are battling this thing.
I still live there. Like, this is exactly where I lived.
Really?
I lived in LA. Yeah.
Wow. So
you dodged that fire.
Right on cue. Right on cue in my sensitive intro. We just had to go and do that.
We're trying to be nice, Kyle.
We're trying to be sensitive.
I'm notoriously team fire.
We will get into that further.
Some people think it's, punishment. You know, that's a real thing.
And it's true. That is a part of the narrative.
Look, I read Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible. I read it. I know what's up. We're just running a sequel. I'm kidding. Oh, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
Too soon.
Kind of.
It might be too soon. It might actually.
Is there
a diddy
party going on? I don't know.
Sam did have a pretty fire comment in the Discord. He was like, Diddy's stores of baby oil accidentally got sparked, and that's what caused the fire. Anyways, now the sensitivity's right out the window. If you are a small business owner looking for exponential growth, you have to connect with Adam Thune at Intellectual Patriots. He will revolutionize your business game and help you get to the next level. Adam can streamline your business practices and advertising strategies to improve your bottom line. His expertise in data engineering means he can build you the systems you need to collect and analyze market data. His mission is to provide you with invaluable insights to fuel your success. From grant writing and business proposals to digital systems integrations, even AI management, Intellectual Patriots is a one-stop shop for cutting-edge solutions. Don't wait another second. Visit intelpatriots.com to learn more. That's intelpatriots.com. This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with 2 V's and 2 P's, or just check the show notes for a link. Let's go into the situation here. Obviously, if anybody has been paying attention to the internet, you've seen this. It's everywhere. It's really, the only thing to be paying attention to right now, it seems. The damage is significant. The Palisades fire has so far burned 17,000 acres and is 0% contained. While the Eaton fire, which started slightly after expanded to 10,000 acres and is also 0% contained, making this the most destructive fire in LA history, with tens of billions of dollars in damage estimated currently, and probably more to come. There are 5 confirmed casualties of the fire and 130,000 people under evacuation orders, with 2,000 homes, businesses, and other buildings damaged or destroyed. And there is a new fire that has sparked up, and the Sunset Fire in the
Hollywood
Hills.
Those 5 casualties are dead?
That is the knowledge at this time, yes. Yep.
I mean, for how big this thing is, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
I mean, it's
by
still
that.
Obviously very sad, but
yeah.
The fact that only 5 people have.
It's true. I mean, especially when you think how dense this area is. And I mean, you know, you see videos all over X of like the gridlock of people just trying to get out of some of these areas. I mean, when the Sunset Fire started in downtown LA, there's photos, aerial photos of LA where just the streets are just jammed. Mm. And I mean, there, I saw a clip of a bulldozer literally pushing cars out of the road because people were in such a hurry to evacuate yeah. that they couldn't get cars. Anywhere. They just left their cars.
Yeah.
I also have a video up here of, I guess it's an advertisement for a while.
Jesus. Really? That is low. Only a lawyer would turn this into an ad.
That was probably some sort of like fire insurance.
Yeah.
Deal, right?
Yeah,
I imagine.
Whoa.
I don't know. I didn't. But yeah, yeah, as you can see, it's pretty crazy out there. If you're somebody that's driving through it right now. But
when you look at the casualty figures, consider that the worst fire in American history was likely the Paxico Fire in Paxico, Wisconsin in 1871. Between 1,500 and 2,500 lives were lost in one fire.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and this is part of that, like, you know, trend as you get wealthier, as you get more abundance in resources and access to goods and services, the more you can respond to terrible situations. So the difference between us and 1871 is our building materials and all that kind of stuff that can slow these things down, and our responses can be better, our communication systems better, things like that. So yeah. It isn't to take away from the tragedy here. Obviously, the property damage is enormous and terrifying. I mean, look at that. But, you know, like we should also have that you know, we live in an era where the casualties, the human life cost, appears to be far less than it otherwise might have been.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting, too, is like Musk said that this morning, SpaceX is going to be providing free Starlink terminals to areas hit by the fire, which is cool. Like, we had that with everything going on in Georgia. You know, we have that with in war-torn territories. Mm-hmm. Elon's just dropping internet for people via Starlink.
Did he do that in Maui, or was it not quite where it was now?
I'm not sure.
Service is most robust across the north, in the northern hemisphere for the most part at the moment. But it is like getting crosswise, right? Because they go crosswise across the globe. So I think Maui just happened to be out of the
out of the range.
I'm not sure. Range.
Eventually, they will get the other way. They'll be like a giant X. Ironically, that'd be kind of.
You think he planned that? He probably planned that.
I assume it's an engineering question first.
Although Elon is just—he's a very mimetic individual. He really cares about.
He truly is.
He's a branding master when it comes to his mimetics.
If anyone would put a giant X in space, it would be him, yes. Right? I mean, I just think.
I mean, he put a Tesla in space.
This is fair.
With a dog in it, or with a Doge in it,
right? Now,
it's like, wow. He's going to see some poor dog.
Not a real dog.
Stuffed animal.
But we also have, there's a lot of fears about arson that's going on in the area too. So, because like a lot of the question here is, how did it actually start?
Right.
And that's where a lot of the politics comes in. But there was a clip from Andrew Huberman, of all people, last night, taking a video of what seems to be just civilian arsonists in the area.
Quite strange. Yeah.
Now, this is obviously after the fires started,
yes.
And this is in the city.
This is in Santa Monica.
But he's literally taking a video that we're going to watch here of people starting a fire in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
So let's check that out.
We're at 302 Pico, and people are lighting fires now. You can see they lit a fire. These guys, not all the people there, but some of those guys lit that fire. And
these guys
they're actually, the trees caught fire, and then the palms are catching fire. So civilians are now lighting fires down in the so-called, you know, flats around Santa Monica, Venice. So be safe out there. Fire department's been dispatched. We don't have enough water to put this thing out.
Yeah.
God damn.
Well, and there you hear it too. We don't have enough water to put this thing out, and that's been
I wasn't sure if he meant like him personally.
Well,
in that video,
or just the city. I mean, that's kind of the broader narrative is that they're just the hydrants are out of water in a lot of places, mm-hmm. And you hear that from a lot of firefighters on the ground. In fact, well, I have a clip that I posted in here of a firefighter using a traffic cone to scoop water out of, you know, basically a storm drain where, you know, water had run off from mm-hmm. fighting another fire to yeah. put out a different fire. So, like, oof. They're really just scrapping for all resources yeah. they can get right now. But before we get to all that stuff, let's get into the causes here a little bit. David, it seems like climate change has been claimed once again by the left as the cause for this fire. Is that right?
Well, in the absence of, like, a cause, right? So in Lahaina, for example, we had a pretty early, like, okay, we had those videos of the telephone poles getting pushed into vegetation. We had early speculation about a particular cause. So in the absence of that, and not to mention people starting fires and arson questions, and remember we debated a fire that was almost started near Bozeman not too long ago of a guy going out near the watershed forest area to and started a fire with gasoline against a tree, and someone went over and put it out and called the police. So, you know, we speculated on that because there was, like, clear evidence and things like that that were happening to suggest that that might have been it. In the absence of that, that gap is kind of filled in by other explanations. And, of course, the left fell back on their old trusty, this must be climate change phenomena. So we got this clip from CNN interviewing a guy about that very question.
Just some dude.
I wonder, when you're looking at this, how does climate change contribute to this perfect firestorm?
Yeah, hi, Brianna. It's good to be with you, although I wish it was under better circumstances. We're certainly seeing a tragedy play out. And when we see these sorts of events, these massive wildfires, 15 of the worst 20 wildfires have occurred during the last 15 years in California. And so there's a clear trend towards these faster spreading, hotter burning, more destructive, more deadly wildfires. And as is always the case, there's an underlying factor and there's an immediate factor. And it's the interaction between those two that give you these extreme events. The underlying factor is, as you already alluded to, profound drought, very dry conditions, an extremely late start to the winter rainy season. It basically hasn't started and we're already into January. And there's a key meteorological variable that we look at, which is called the evaporative demand. It's basically how dry and thirsty the atmosphere is. And that correlates highly with wildfire potential. And we're seeing very high levels of evaporative demand precisely in those regions where these wildfires have broken out. Now, the immediate factor, these winds, the Santa Ana winds, and we can't say those are caused by climate change. It's a natural occurrence, but it's the synergy between that natural occurrence, the Santa Ana winds, that immediate factor, and the underlying dry conditions that are definitely related to a trend of drier conditions in California and the western U.S. caused by human-caused warming due primarily to the burning of fossil fuels.
Well, there it is. The climate change narrative comes out right at the end there.
Yeah, so what's interesting here is the question at play of using climate science to justify any singular event, right? So 2 years ago, when this time of year, there was abnormally high rainfalls, they weren't saying this is because of climate change, right? You didn't have a media cycle saying, oh my God, all this rainfall, this is because of climate change. It's only when there's a disaster, right? And there's like a selection bias thing here that it's obviously, from the perspective of the climate change people, it's like, well, now it's in the news cycle, so we're going to talk about it.
I disagree with that, though. I feel like, and I don't remember any specific stories relating to the West Coast, but obviously, like, the enormous hurricane seasons, like the flooding that happened
because there wasn't a disaster, though. That's the thing, was it was just higher than normal.
There always are disasters in California, though. Like, they'll have devastating landslides and things of that nature. Earthquakes not necessarily related to rain, but the landslides are a big factor for sure.
But once again, when all the reservoirs filled up because of the normal amount of rainfall we got, there was no cycle about how the climate change is causing this good phenomena, right? Because climate change is such a large, you know, you're describing the biggest possible thing. All of the environment in the entire globe and the effects locally based upon that larger environment.
Yes.
And the problem with that is you can get into a composition fallacy in a Mott and Bailey argument, right? Meaning You say climate.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
what Martin Bailey means I defend. I say a radical claim, and then I defend at a much more defensible position, right? So I say a radical claim like this fire was caused by climate change, and then when you say like, well, wait a minute, it was caused like, or Lahaina, right, is a better example. We have a particular cause that it had to do with vegetation and budget cuts that did not do the vegetation, blah 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 blah, all these things, and you know predictions that this was going to happen if you didn't do anything about it, and then they didn't do anything about it, and so then they say, well, actually, well, I mean, but climate change is real. Right. And they go back to, but the Earth's temperature is increasing and carbon has an effect on the temperature. Does that make sense?
I see. So they're trying to establish, you know, a correlation. Climate change caused this disaster. But then when that's challenged, they say, well, OK, yeah, maybe not. But climate change still exists.
Yeah. Right. And then when something normal happens, they don't claim climate change caused that thing to happen. Right. Because that's also climate change, because that is the entire claim. Right. The entire claim is the globe is a thing. Right. And it has a whole system to it. So each of those things, to me, this is like that jaded political cause searching thing for on behalf of research funding and things like that to gin up more dollars so that you can fund your next climate change paper. Right, yeah. which is the real jaded. I'm not jaded's not the right word. Just super realpolitik component to a lot of this, which is unfortunate.
Well, and a lot of it too is just it's just religious for a lot of people as well. Like they have their common cause for all things evil in the world are a one singular thing, and you go to it.
That's interesting. Climate change is the left version of an act of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just, what that was my joke up front. It's the guilelessness.
Yeah, no, I guess I'm just putting that together.
Yeah. Well, it's Mother Gaia, right? Like, yeah. You know, it's the death of God, and now we're worshiping the Earth, right. Mother Planet, right. The Gaia, right?
So Newsweek had an article, How Did the Palisades Fire Start? Is climate change to blame for LA wildfires? Do you think this actually took both sides of the argument? Well, I asked the question in the title. No.
Can't imagine it does.
It did not. It said, yes, it was. That's pretty much what it says.
yes, it was.
So, and at least a part of this is noting that even in a situation of climate change, regardless of the rebuttals on the individual stuff, which we'll get into in a second, the question of like what to do with a projection of the future that could be worse is how do you invest your social capital, the things and available resources to mitigate future disasters, right? So you have like, you know, Lahaina is a great example because we have more data because it's, you know, it was more time it played out. There was a reduction in the vegetation allowance for the utility to reduce vegetation. And it's possible this could have the same cause. There's high winds and exposed power lines.
And this has been a known cause of prior wildfires in California all over the place, yep. Which is why PG&E would do these rolling blackouts during high winds. They wanted
that
to prevent.
That happened in this case. Last week they did a rolling blackout.
Right. They want to prevent the active power lines from, you know, having trees fall on them and spark wildfires. And actually the same policy is starting to be rolled out in Montana as well. Mm-hmm. Northwestern Energy was putting out some statements about that last summer.
Yeah, and another one of their initiatives is only relatively recently have they started investing in actually putting the power line subsurface to keep that from being a problem. And you know, one of the, as usual, there's like a political fight about that, right? It's like, oh, you're only doing this because of climate change or something like that. But it seems like a consensus issue, right? And obviously they've spent, you know, a couple billion on that and hundreds of billions on green energy initiatives and subsidies and all that kind of stuff, right? So obviously the contrast of this is, note the Netherlands. The Netherlands has invested tons of money in ensuring that their dams and dike systems that prevent ocean rises and... I know I said dike, guys. Come on.
Sorry.
Come on.
Kyle just looked at
me.
We're not even
talking about the fire chief yet, Kyle.
I just looked at Joe and he gave me a smirk.
No, he smirked at me first.
Who smirked first?
Okay, we'll Kyle find that out sure in post, I guess.
It goes back to the fire chief thing, which we'll get into later because there's other narratives that are going around with that.
I'm so embarrassed. My mom watches this show, guys. The Netherlands.
Yeah.
Go on with the dikes.
For a 1,000-year storm, like the worst possible scenario, when you have a high capital society, what do you invest in and how do you invest? That's a really, and what we do with that shows our values and shows what we care about, right? And a lot of this is a question of if 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if after all this time of fires as he said, increasing fire problems in California. If the adjustment was fires first, climate change second, we would have a far less disastrous scenario. But what we're trying to do is organize the climate and address that as the root cause rather than safety of our power lines first. Does that make sense? And that shows the underlying sets of values that are informing the decisions and directing the political process.
Well, and it's also rather insane in the sense that, you know, you're seeking to control something that is thoroughly out of your control. At least to any sane person, it would be not realistic to think you can control the climate. But you can control where your power lines are run and how close trees are to them and all these other like tangible factors. Mm-hmm. So it's
well, and that like shows like the priority order. In that priority order, how you rank order your priorities and your values and what you demonstrate what you care about by what you spend money on as a political order or as a society. If you put the much more the problem with democracy at its core, if you put the much more tangible, practical run on being the mayor of L.A. that says, I'm going to bury all the power lines. That's not a compelling thing. That's not going to get you
George Soros money. No.
Right? That's going to get you a bunch of people going like, why? I mean, that seems like a lot of work. You know, I mean, like if you say fires right now, it's very compelling. Right. But that's a foresight thing that we just don't have. The other part of that is that the long time horizon that like we because and I think the deeper cause of this is financial and monetary at its core, but we shorten our time horizon, our time preferences, and we become much more consumers than savers because we have this constant decade by decade, generation by generation incentive to live in the now constantly because there's no incentive to live for the future because if you save, all your money is destroyed by savings. Right?
By inflation.
Yeah, by inflation.
Yeah.
All our capital stock is reduced. Nobody has any savings in their bank account. Why? Well, it doesn't pay to do that. So you risk it on the stock market. So these kind of phenomena are filtered down to lower order value systems, which then result in malinvestment when it comes to the way we harden our infrastructure against problems like this.
Yeah.
Well, you also just scapegoat it too. Like now you have a system in place where everybody's malinvesting or, you know, the government's malinvesting, you know, governors are misallocating resources, et cetera, and, and then when the problems occur because of all that malinvestment, now you have this nice big boogeyman to just look at, well, this is the source of all the problems. We couldn't have really done anything here. We couldn't have done better forest management. We couldn't have buried the lines. We couldn't have whatever, made sure that the water reservoirs were full. we couldn't have known that this would happen. So like we got this big boogeyman to look towards and mm-hmm. it's this force of nature that we just have to contend with.
Yeah. Well,
ultimately capitalism's fault, right? That's what's really happening under the surface. That's like the implication of the Gaia worship is there's something wrong and we deserve this because of our wealth and society and success.
Yeah. That's crazy to me when, you know, a lot of people, particularly on the left, use, you know, roads and police and fire, as you know, these essential services as sort of like the justification for why the state should exist, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, you would think, okay, the state exists to help manage and prevent this scenario. But in reality, the resources at the disposal of the state of California, which are tremendous, have gone to so many other things. I don't know what, like, you know, giving drugs to homeless people or, I don't know, building really expensive tiny houses DEI initiatives or whatever else, but not to the things that are actually going to improve the lives of the citizens.
If the government didn't exist, who would stop the fires?
Yeah. Cloud seeding.
It was,
wait.
And the other side of that is the underlying embedded narrative, well, mental model, that any problem is solvable with a sufficient amount of government spending. And it's very possible that this is so outside the range of, you know, possible investment foresight that you could actually have prevented this. That's also possible. Right. But that what that says is that then it's no longer a political sales pitch to get you more funding or anything like that. For example, the La Nina phase that we're currently in always makes Southern California drier in that phase. And it's a very regular cycle. And yet funding didn't really change based upon that. In fact, it was only a couple of years ago that they cut funding to fire. Right. Now, they just recently in 2022 re-increased funding and increased it by a lot. But maybe that was too late. Maybe the cycle for actually changing the underlying phenomena takes longer than that amount of time. Government planning is at the core of that.
Yeah.
Right? And rather than the much faster responsive planning that is seen in the private marketplace.
I do find it funny that you're saying that there's a cycle, but the argument is that there's a change.
Yeah.
There is a cycle and there is a change. And you would think for a constituency so focused on the climate that you would be very attuned to climate cycles, La Nina, El Nino,
yeah.
for example. And if you know that this thing happens every couple of years, mm-hmm. you would plan for it.
Well, it's literally called the devil winds is the other way of talking about this particular time of year and the high winds and the dry season. Why? You know, and that's like old knowledge embedded in the language that we use. That's obvious that this could be a disastrous time for wildfires.
Well, since you invoked the devil, I think we should play the clip from the Golden Globes because it's just too it's too apt for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, there was a clip going around of Nikki Glaser at the Golden Globes. And
this was 2 days before the fire broke out.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's apropos.
So much has already happened in the first half, and the acceptance speeches have been on fire. Who got shouted out the most? Let's look at the numbers.
Whoops. Pre-programming.
All right. Cast and crew are leading the way with 11 mentions. Moms are holding strong with 3 shout outs. God, creator of the universe, 0 mentions. And Mario Lopez, host of Access Hollywood, 1. All right. No surprise in this godless town.
How do you feel about the fit, Joe? No.
I think
sparkly.
She's looking good.
Yeah, looks great.
Yeah, yeah. So did they deserve it because they are not pleasing to God is the other argument.
I think it's better than most of the arguments I'm seeing thrown out here.
Better than climate change?
It's better than climate change.
I mean, if anybody deserved a little smiting, yeah, maybe Hollywood.
I don't mean to be the rain on your parade, but
hey.
Luke chapter 13, verse 4-5.
Oh.
Or those 18 upon which the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
What?
What that means is that we're all dirty before God. And that using people as victims of a particular event as an example, well, that must have been because they were particularly sinful, is a fallacy. Or
oh my God, ew, David!
I'll point you to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Here
Bible
we go.
Enjoy the show, everyone. I'm out of here.
That's Old Testament. I don't know anything about it. No, I'm just kidding.
The correct stuff. No.
That's a little bit more judgy one.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was going for the Judaism aspect of this.
It's all right. We want those Israel bucks.
Well, with that particular argument aside, there are more tangible political narratives that are being flung around and other reasons why people are pointing the fingers at each other, trying to place blame for this. To start, we have Biden's comments from earlier this year about what would happen if Trump wins.
Donald Trump's climate denial may not have caused these fires and record floods and record hurricanes, but if he gets a second term, these hellish events will continue to become more common, more devastating, and more deadly. Meanwhile, Donald Trump warns that integration is threatening our suburbs. It's ridiculous. But you know what is actually threatening our suburbs? Wildfires are burning the suburbs in the West. Floods are wiping out suburban neighborhoods in the Midwest. Hurricanes are imperiling suburban life along our coast. If we have 4 more years of Trump's climate denial, how many suburbs will be burned in wildfires? How many suburban neighborhoods will have been flooded out? How many suburbs will have been blown away in superstorms? If you give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze? If you give a climate denier 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised when more of America is underwater? We need a president who respects science, who understands that the damage from climate change is already here.
Stop it there.
So climate change is a prediction, as a science predicts that within the next 100 years that we will see somewhere between a 1 degree to, in the very worst case scenario, 5 degree increase, 3 to 5 degree increase in temperatures,
global average temperatures. Average global temperatures.
Yeah, yes. When you blame something on the horizon of 4 years, you are not doing the science, to be clear.
Now, hold on. Would that be an example of time slice bias?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a sense, like it's shortening the time frame to it would be Donald Trump's fault then. Now, is this Biden's fault? Why didn't he end climate change, right? Like, if you can just end it, if the government can just stop bad things from happening, that's like the underlying bias of the government is just ultra powerful and can do that. And that Mott and Bailey thing, that like, I'm going to make a radical claim, and you'd be like, well, can the government even stop all hurricanes? I mean, like, what's going on there? And then they go back to, well, but climate change is real, and that's what the science says. Does that make sense?
You have to mention, Trump's been in for 4 out of the last 12 years, so why didn't they fix it in the other,
8?
Or, sorry, 4 out of the last 16?
They did change it. Why didn't they fix it? It was called the Green Jobs Act.
The
Inflation Reduction Act, which was actually a green jobs bill, which did what?
Well, nothing.
Give money away to all the Democrat allied organizations.
Inflation.
it's one of those, it's an incredibly nihilistic way to think about solving real problems and instead just using that to build your political capital and reward your friends. And the last part of that I think is really important is the rhetoric around this. I mean, climate arsonist is a really interesting turn of phrase.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, it's pretty well written. Is just that if you're a victim of a fire that might have happened regardless of if you've gotten all of the things you possibly could have gotten, and there just isn't enough water in the world to stop this thing given the winds and all that kind of circumstance, if you are actually saying we should be sensitive to those people in this time, right? And not have Donald Trump claim that, this guy's at fault or that guy's at fault. When you've politicized this thing from the very beginning, saying any death is at his feet because he wouldn't support the Inflation Reduction Act or whatever, or Republican feet or the right feet or whatever. Like, that is just, it is such an error of taking a big phenomena and applying it to an individual one that has so many more particular causes and then claiming it for a political victory, which is just so jaded and terrible. Yeah. One of the worst things we do as a politic.
Well, and the left is apparently also claiming that budget cuts were to blame as well. I mean, just kind of getting more to the granular stuff. They're pointing it at that, trying to obviously, lobby for bigger budgets.
Right. And there was a reduction in fire, but it was the smallest reduction recently.
So it looks like a 2% downward change from 837 million in 23 to 820 million in 24. Mm-hmm. So $17 million reduction.
And obviously, according to Colin, this is because conservatives demanded the mayor cut the budget. So we did.
Wouldn't be because of the massive deficits that the state has?
Yeah. All right. Well, and I think this is the local government.
Oh, it is. Okay.
In this case. So, but that's part of the phenomena, right? Increases in state fund and state taxes and expenditure crowd out local. So do federal. So if your federal government blows up the budget, raises inflation, your state budgets now get crunched. That is part, like,
because they have less purchasing power.
Yeah. Well, and just because people are being taxed more, right? There's a curve of taxing rate, total taxing rate of state, federal, and local that, where if you increase taxes, it has to cut other places because people only have so much income to be taxed before they go before they can't pay.
Right.
Right. You can't tax everybody 100%. Right. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So at some point between 0 and 100, there is a curve, and we discover that price depending upon income and other things where it doesn't have that effect. But that effect is there. So it very well could be. I don't know. But the basis of economics would suggest at some level that there's a trade-off. So who's really to blame? The mayor that cut budget, fire the smallest? Or is it the state for spending more money and then forcing budget cuts at the local level so that they can continue to have revenue and income in their state?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would point to maybe allocation of budget being a bit of an issue in LA specifically. And the case I would point to is something I saw come across my feed on X this week. Actually, Zero Hedge wrote a good article about it, how L.A. County donated, quote, surplus equipment and including a fire truck to Ukraine in 2022. So I don't know. Like, go cry somewhere else if you're going to export all your firefighting equipment or some of your firefighting equipment to a foreign country.
Yeah, it's not.
And
as
then
if,
you have a wildfire.
It's not as if one fire truck would have made the difference, but it's one of those phenomena of like that short time preference for political reasons being more important than actual safety and right. actual long term planning on behalf of the public.
For sure. And there are other more long term things, and we're gonna get into the most significant one of those in just a second.
Well, and that's just a symbol of like the microcosm of problems yes. that we have.
Exactly.
Right?
It's terribly symbolic, right? Because the issue of the day is Ukraine. We're going to take a fire truck and send it there.
Well, it's also similar to massive homeless problem going on in California. And then when Xi Jinping comes in, all of a sudden, oh, it's all cleaned up. You know, right?
Right.
It's the prioritization and just the politics of it all.
Right.
Imagine if you're in the meeting where they're like, okay, what are we going to send to Ukraine? And you're a climate science person, climate change person, which I'm sure everyone on the city council is, right?
For sure.
I mean, I feel very confident about that bet. And they're like, we're going to send a fire truck. And no one was like, well, granted that I think that global temperatures are going to increase, and granted that I think that there's like, you know, a huge barriers to the government being able to control the weather, which I'm sure they agree on some level because they have to do so much for it. Didn't anyone say, hey, are we going to have more wildfires? You sure we should send a fire truck?
Yeah.
You know, like, did that happen? I don't think so.
No, we have to get elected now, so we have to send the truck now.
Exactly.
How'd they send it?
Why do you ask?
That's a good question.
If it was a fuel efficient way.
Yeah, what were the logistics of sending this fire truck?
It was an electric boat.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom rode it across the Atlantic in a canoe.
How did they get it? Yeah, like what was the route taken?
That's a really good question.
Definitely through Panama. Route. Think about it.
Mm. Well, they probably had to get. Did they drive the truck to the other side of the like country so that they could move it? Like,
they probably put the truck.
Or did they go to Panama? How did they do this?
They probably put it on a train. They sent it to like Baltimore or something, and then put it on a freighter and then send it over.
Yeah.
Or maybe it went over on some sort of supply, you know, plane or something with the military. I don't know.
Imagine being the UPS guy on that one's like, gosh, yeah.
Just got the heavy sticker on it. Like,
it's going to be a big lift.
Lift as a team.
Use your legs.
So the other part of this, which I think is interesting, is the left kind of using this as a platform to talk about the injustice, the social justice of the fire. Like the fire is an agent of social justice because of income inequality. We have Hassan, his last name is Piker.
Yeah.
Is that right? I thought it was Abi.
No, that's his Twitch name.
Oh, got it.
Hassan Abi.
Yeah, got it. Well, this is him talking about that with his stream.
At least all the billionaire Palisade homes are burning. Brother, I don't know how to explain this to you, but it's not just rich people that lose their lives and their homes in this process. It's going to be quite difficult for you to comprehend, I know, but it's usually the really rich people that can avoid the worst of the worst. And it's always the normal folk and poor people that actually get cooked in this process. Like, I'm reminded of the time where Kanye West hired a private brigade of firefighters to basically create a security perimeter around his house.
So she was speaking with a friend of hers who's in.
So there's kind of two things that are going on. Is his chat is saying, like, at least the rich people are getting burned out. Like, that's kind of the sentiment that's going on there. And then him having to correct that and be like, normal people are getting burned too, but then insert lecture about social justice, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I mean, that is a thing. I mean, we have it out here. There's a company called, I think it's Wildfire Defense Systems. It's a private firefighting company, and you can contract with them to defend your house. In the event of, you know, a wildfire, they were employed during the Bridger fire up in the canyon when that happened here several years ago. But that's actually a good thing, in my view, because if you have the resources to hire private firefighters, it frees up the public resources to defend other mm-hmm. areas that can't, right? So mm-hmm. I don't really see the argument there against hiring private firefighters.
Capitalism.
I don't think it makes sense.
They're only going to save themselves and the little guy gets burned. Isn't that the argument?
I mean, that would right? be the argument, but I don't think it tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're basically saying is public resources can then be diverted.
Precisely.
And make it more efficient
yeah.
because there's other avenues for firefighting that exist.
Correct.
One of the things that is true, and it's like the hardest problem of reality, maybe, or at least of social reality for humans, is the common phrase, and it's I think it's a who's it that said it? It was a British intellectual that said the rich get a cold, and the cough, get a cough, and they die, and the poor people die from a cold, right? Mm. Like that phenomena of your resources can protect you, and that there is a anxiety, a natural, I think, human equalitarian anxiety around that, about that, how unfair that reality is. The question is just whether or not you can solve for that phenomena. The resentment, the envy, the I love how poor, how rich people are having their houses burned down right now, and like the celebration of that, that is the politics of resentment. Right. That's that they deserve this because they exploit the working class. Hassan's a communist, right? Like he's a leftist or a communist?
I mean, he is what he needs to be.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my understanding.
There was a point where he literally calls these people that he's referring to the bourgeois. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what made me think, yeah, he's actually a communist.
He's a unique leftist that mutates.
Wow.
But that
came out of nowhere for Joe.
and to be clear, like for people that don't know, just because like he's somebody that if you're under 40, you probably know who Hassan is. He's one of the top live streamers in the world.
Yeah. He's pretty big.
Yeah.
So the philosophy of communism and Marxism is based upon the underlying value of how of the resentment built over some people having more than others.
For sure.
The challenge is that the system that creates that inequality is reality. It's not it's not capitalism that makes it. It's reality. It's the 80-20 principle. Jordan Peterson always used this example, and I think it's a good one. 80% of all the mass in the universe is embodied in 20% of all the black holes. Right, like that is everywhere, and it's true with your crop, and it's true with your cattle producing dairy, and it's true with all kinds of phenomena, including the economics that we built both in capitalism and in communism. To be clear, if you're a party member in the USSR, you had access to more services than if you were an underlying peasant someplace else. True egalitarianism isn't possible. It's not real.
It's unnatural.
It fights against the fundamental of this. And another part of this is like anytime you create that, you run into a time slice bias, right? Even if you create egalitarianism, you level everything immediately because human ability is not equal, you will quickly get to an unequal state as people employ different resources. As long as you're not constantly cracking down and always keeping, leveling off the resources, you will eventually get to an unequal place. And so that egalitarian dream, which is motivated by resentment, can lead people down that path of absolute totalitarianism because of that, because you constantly need to be policing the equality question because it's natural.
Yeah.
So
speaking of equality.
Yeah.
Well, the LA fire chief has drawn a bit of ire from the right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this being, thank you, Bennett. I was just going to say, I think this is like the least compelling piece of this whole question and narrative, but DEI has come up as, you know, a target of part of the reason why, this situation occurred, or maybe part of the failings of the LA Fire Department.
Yeah, we have Matt Walsh here saying Los Angeles deliberately set out to exclude white men from becoming firefighters, and now they don't have enough firefighters to prevent their city from burning to the ground. DEI is a cancer that destroys everything it touches. And this is coming from Los Angeles Scanner. There are not enough firefighters, according to the chief.
Okay, I feel like even if there were, they would have done just as much as that single fire truck that went to Ukraine. Like there's no way you can stop this with the wind that they had. And yeah, obviously, like we joke about the DEI shit, but I think I agree with you. I think this has such little to do with the actual outcome.
Yeah,
it's probably a variable, but like it's a matter of how much do you weight that variable, because like could there be a better fire chief that was denied a job, and also just like general firefighters and stuff like that were denied jobs because of these like investment practices we were talking about, like the malinvestment that all of these programs and these ideologies cause in the system. And it's like, there might have been a more well preparedness or like maybe less damage done aspect to it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Well, and I think, yeah, it comes down to what are your priorities as a fire department? Are they to make sure you have a diverse team of firefighters, or are they to make sure that, you know, you are the most equipped and capable of extinguishing fires when they start? And they don't necessarily need to be mutually exclusive, but obviously you only have so much time and energy and resources, and you have to put those somewhere. So where are you
going
to put them?
Well, yeah, instead of going for the meritocracy aspect of being like, let's just get the best people
right
on the job, we're jumping through hoops to hit all of these different metrics of like, and they're vanity metrics for the sake of, you know, the ideology and the religion that is in play here. But you know, it's probably not the main cause or anything, and people jumping to that as a sole thing is
right.
Probably
I mean, I would say just one example of that is having more firefighters does nothing if there's no water in the hydrants. And that's a wide report that we've been getting, you know, is that there's just not enough water to fight this fire.
So. Yeah, like maybe instead of focusing on the diversity, we focus on the white water in the hydrants.
Right, you know, right.
That could be a way to look at
which
it.
Which maybe a better candidate for that job would have done.
Yeah, but
perhaps.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But
I think there's a very small percentage of weight that this... really
yeah, it's like yeah. some weight, but it's not all the weight because there's for so sure. many variables at play. It's right. just like California is so poorly run
yeah.
for just from a political perspective, right? Like, yeah, and this is there. One of the reasons California is so poorly run, but it's one of the many reasons, right?
We should have a better candidate for governor.
And we have Michael Tracy here. He's asking questions. Do you have any evidence that this person is incompetent at her profession? The bio also says she's a 22. Oh, and actually, let me read the Libs of TikTok tweet first. Meet the Los Angeles fire chief, Kristen Crowley. She boasts about being the first female and LGBTQ fire chief in the LA fire department. Promoting a culture of DEI is her priority. Does this make you feel safer? And then Michael Tracy responds, do you have any evidence that this person is incompetent at her profession? The bio also says she's a 22-year-old vet of the Los Angeles fire department and was previously battalion chief, assistant chief, deputy chief, and chief deputy. These cheap swipes based on identity traits are getting tiresome. And
I agree with that.
And this is actually a similar error to the climate change thing when it comes to the overall phenomena and the individual circumstance. In this case, the right is picking up on this problem of DEI, which we've talked about too, and there is problems in this area, especially when you're looking at it as a macro phenomena, but then getting very hasty in the dynamics of the internet to very quickly blame it on DEI without really having a solid ground. It's possible. It opens the door, but you got to have a solid, better case than, you know, the press release that promotes all of the woke words because it's a press release for press coverage. It doesn't mean that's what her... If you have to say like, oh, yeah, and then she cut the budget for vegetation reduction and put it into... I don't know, safe spaces for fire people or something. Does that make sense? Yeah. If that happened, then you have a case, but you're not there yet. You know, like just
it's a worthwhile question in my mind. Like I would, it's one of these things where I would have to see the numbers, and I'm very open to DEI being a major problem here
for sure.
But it's the hasty jumping to it is probably not worthwhile. It's just like, this is a typical Californian. That's kind of what it is.
Like
they're giving press releases for the mass religion that is Californian, Californiisms.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very good way to put it.
Which is the second deity after Gaia. It's like Gaia is the primary deity and like and then, second in command is.
And then P. Diddy parties.
Rainbow
is a ritual.
Here. Yikes.
Yeah. Just dunking on California at their lowest, right? It's just
kicking them while they're down. Well,
it's good stuff. One tiny part of California, really.
That's true.
Well,
that's true.
Diddy's New York, right?
Yeah, no, he was LA.
He was doing LA parties, though. Yeah,
I did actually look up.
He is kind of both. He works
in my conspiracy rabbit holing over this. I did look up the location of the Diddy Mansion in relation to the fires to see.
Oh yeah,
any,
his mansion's LA. That's right.
It's not very close. It might be at risk eventually if they don't get it contained.
What was Diddy's primary residence? Was he LA or was he?
He had a place in Miami that was conveniently and strangely located very close to a shipping terminal, and one in LA. There, I mean, I'm sure he had places all
over.
That's
where the fire truck.
And he's from New York. Right, originally.
Yeah. It was like his original. Yeah. Beginnings of his career was very New York based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
He's East Coast, right, man?
Yep. Yeah.
So the water story, right? Getting to that. So there is a lot of question about the water, and what's going back and forth. Now, I do have this tweet from what's his name? I forget it. It's Brian Kassenstein.
Krasenstein.
Just waiting on Adam to say something from beyond.
I know words. I had the best words.
About basically claiming, and there are some other resources that Grok does confirm that there was a surge in water supply in the last two winters, and that therefore the current tanks. Now, this is him actually defending Governor Newsom, claiming that this was a thing and trying to debunk Trump's criticism. So I'm leading with this because, you know, rather than flipping around the other way, because I think it kind of demonstrates that there's this back and forth going on this question of was there water, that ultimately I think Trump wins in this sense, that there is a planning problem, the same problem we've been talking about, yeah. And a lack of prioritization of what's important problem. But he's claiming that a lot of these, you know, problems of the water supply tanks were full pre-fire, reservoir and water tanks were at normal levels and completely full before the fire. High demand at lower elevations slowed refilling tanks at higher elevations. It makes sense because you have pumps and stuff like that, yep. that can happen. And then that the fire was unprecedented. Before 8 months of no rain and 85 miles per hour winds.
Yeah, and we should note too. There's one piece of the situation here that we didn't really touch on yet, which is the winds. The winds were extreme.
Yes.
Such that they had to ground all the firefighting aircraft that would have otherwise been fighting this fire additionally, putting all the strain of fighting this fire on the water supply, which is not typically how wildfires are most effectively fought. Mm. I mean, often from the air, right? Either with retardants or with going, you know, to a body of water, scooping up and dropping it. I mean, that's like common in Montana, and I'm sure, you know, that's certainly a resource that they use in California as well.
Yeah. I saw a Newsom thing about, you know, the fact that they were finally able to get the airplanes in the air only as of today, right? So I that could have been a big part of it.
Yeah.
But so what was Trump's case here? And this is kind of going all the way back to the Joe Rogan experience, right?
Well, let's maybe start with what he's been truthing out.
Okay.
We got the truth here.
Oh, my God. Did he say?
He did. I'll read it for you. Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, California. Including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. Anyway, that's enough. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called a smelt by giving it less water. It didn't work. But didn't care about the people of California. Now the ultimate price is being paid. I will demand that this incompetent governor allow beautiful, clean, fresh water to flow into California. He is to blame for this. On top of it all, no water for fire hydrants, not firefighting planes, a true disaster.
It's worth mentioning, this whole Delta Schmelt thing has been going on for decades in California. Like,
it's a long
forever. Issue. And it is one of these things where you look at it and you're like, you're still doing that? You're still doing this for this fish that may or may not even be in that body of water over there? You know, like, it's just like...
And so the circumstances, and I think you might have a little bit more clarity on the dynamics around it, but they're basically rerouting a lot of the water that could make its way from Northern California to Southern California directly into the Pacific Ocean to aid this fish, the Delta Smelt.
Right.
Or maybe it's Schmelt.
Right? Yeah, and so this was Trump on Rogan, so a few weeks before the election, and this is just a small piece of it. They spent quite a bit of time actually talking about California fires back then and talking about the water resource problem and all of this.
Yeah.
So here's just a small portion of that.
And this was October, correct?
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks before the election, okay. 2 weeks, yeah. Something like that. And I was, it was in the lead up to the election. Yeah.
We have no water. I said, do you have a drought? No, we don't have a drought. I said, why don't you have no water? Because the water isn't allowed to flow down. It's got a natural flow from Canada all the way up north of water, more water than they could ever use. And in order to protect a tiny little fish, the water up north gets routed into the Pacific Ocean. Millions and millions of gallons of water gets poured. I could have water for all of that land. Water for your forests. You know, your forests are dry as a bone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Dangerous.
That water could be routed. You know, you could have everything. Oh, not only dangerous. Billions of dollars a year they spend on forest fires. And, you know, there's a case with the environment. They're not allowed to rake their forest because you're not allowed to touch it. And all they have to do is clean their forest, meaning rake it up, get rid of the leaves, get rid of, you know, leaves that are sitting there for 5 years. And
we'll certainly,
you
know, get rid of the dead fall.
And get rid of the trees that have fallen. Yeah. That, you know, are like.
It's really interesting to watch a New Yorker try to describe forestry maintenance.
It's, yes.
It always gives me a chuckle.
Like, you just go out and you just rake the leaves, just rake them all up, like, put them in a pile, you put them in some garbage bags about this big.
I have a garbage truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is a problem. I mean, they don't do that in California, right? They've stopped doing any sort of forestry maintenance at all, isn't that right? Or very little?
Well, it depends on the agency running the organization. At least depending upon federal agency, BLM, being different than national forest, being different than state-owned lands. For our listeners, outside of America or in other areas in America, as you might know or might not know, the majority of these states are owned by the federal government, right? The tremendous amounts of the public land is not controlled by the states. So there is a far different set of practices that are different from everything east of the Missouri, where controlled burns and regular forest maintenance is far more common, in part because part of its ideology, he notes that, like, you can't touch the forest, that sort of thing. That's an ideology. That's an idea set about the pristineness of nature and how we don't want to interfere, so we should let it all burn. And then there's the active maintenance philosophy, which says, no, we are a part of nature, and part of the things that humans have always done here, going all the way back to the Native Americans, is maintain the forest by taking out dead wood and burning it in safe ways. So,
actually, on this topic, Bennett just reminded us that we have a clip from our very own show from November of 2023. Our friend Kat was talking about this very issue. Let's cut to her.
And the Forest Service was relatively new at that time, and they were kind of looking for a mission. And after that fire, they got their mission. Like, fire suppression, preventing wildfires was the service's goal. And they meant well, but what we've learned over the last century is that approach, suppressing all wildfires, has totally disrupted natural fire cycles. Wildfire is an important part of a forest, forest health and a forest ecosystem. It helps in regeneration. It helps with soil health. And so we've created these really uncharacteristic conditions in our forests where they're overly dense, and all of that deadfall produces fuel for wildfires. So now what we're seeing, in the past, historically, naturally, we had more wildfires, but they were less intense and they were sort of ground fires. Today, we are seeing sort of larger, hotter wildfires because there's more what are known as ladder fuels that bring the fire up into the canopy or the crowns of trees. And those fires are burning so hot that they're disrupting the process of regeneration. They're decimating soil health. They're no longer beneficial.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Great explanation of the types of wildfires that are helpful, and then basically the fact that our management has been to do nothing in some places, and then that has created,
just gotta rake the leaves
or suppress the fire up to a point, and then now that we have suppressed the fire, so up to the point we have excess buildup of vegetation,
right,
which we knew was a phenomena in California. This was actually predicted and talked about as a primary cause of the intensity of this fire specifically, was buildup of vegetation as a problem, and there was no mitigation practice in order to solve for that.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. Gavin Newsom did have a response to Donald Trump. Gavin Newsom did have a response to Donald Trump. Let's go to that.
They spelled his name wrong.
Base. We're in the public safety phase.
I hate to even ask this question, but the president-elect chose to attack you, blame you for this.
It's one can't even respond to it. I mean, it's people are literally fleeing. People have lost their lives. Kids lost their schools. Families completely torn asunder. Churches burned down. This guy wanted to politicize it. I have a lot of thoughts, and I know what I want to say. I won't. I stood next to a president of the United States of America today, and I was proud to be with Joe Biden. And he had the backs of every single person in this community. He didn't play politics, didn't try to divide any of us. Base, we're in the public safety.
Yeah, that's what Joe Biden does. He doesn't play politics.
How dare he politicize this as I stand in front of this burning house trying to look like I do gubernatorial things.
While sending $500 million to Ukraine. Let's go, Joe.
And a fire truck.
And a fire truck. Just for funsies. I don't know. Yep. So there's that.
Well, and one of the things there is just like the whole, how dare you play politics when this stuff is like, dude, like, okay, so how is it a problem in our society that we politicize everything? Okay, fine. But don't give me this climate change bullshit right now, too.
Oh, totally.
I don't stand on the backs of five deaths and say this is because of the my soapbox political thing. Like, everyone's doing this. So don't be the one that, it's so lame to be the one to be like, how dare you in this moment?
Well, and also, Trump was talking about raking the leaves a few months ago, right? like this has been a problem that has been being raised for some time now.
Right.
And now Trump's just continuing to say the same things that he was already saying and then passing blame alongside of it.
Just as Biden was saying the same thing with the, you know, climate arsonist rhetoric that we also reviewed, right? So like these things are an ongoing dialogue and people should be able to discuss them now. And it wasn't even a personal attack.
Well, Gavin Newsom.
I mean, yeah, like, yeah, I'd call he's it making personal. Fun of his name, but it's also like placing blame on the phenomena that he's the one who didn't allow the deal to happen that would have changed the trajectory of this. Krasenstein says, well, did you know Krasenstein?
Krasenstein.
Krasenstein says, well, the Endangered Species Act is a federal law that he can't change. You're the one who passed the federal law. Your philosophy did. You're the one. The progressives have been the ones who have been taking all of the management of wildlife and putting it to the feds. And then environmentalist groups use that to sue companies that are trying to solve real problems on the ground for humans and then say, this is the problem. This is your law. This is the thing that you people use. Not the things that we want to see change. These things should all be done at the state level. They should not be done at the federal level, because it's too far from the people who actually pay the cost.
They just did it with grizzly bears in Montana.
Yeah, Kat also did talk about that in the same episode. So go check out episode 42.
Episode 42. It's a good one if you're interested in this topic. We will make sure we link it in the show notes as well. One final piece of this. It's sort of an interesting component because it's been in the news quite a bit lately as well, pertaining to the healthcare piece, is insurance. David, why don't you tee this one up?
Yeah, so this is a really good assessment from Jeremy Kaufman. He's linking to a article that says insurers drop fire coverage for California homes months ago. I gotta learn how to read, guys. I don't know what this is. I never learned to read. Now wildfires are claiming more houses in Los Angeles. So this is on January 8th. So already people are blaming insurers as some kind of nefarious actors. What he says is, prepare for news stories about evil insurers, scare quotes, that don't tell the whole story. Proposition 103 in California makes it illegal to accurately price fire insurance. Insurers can only use historical data, not projections. So insurers did the rational thing. They dropped customers. This is rationing, the same as health insurance, meaning there's a limited capital stock at any given time. And in order to have enough money there for your claims, you do is you remove the what you deem as the lowest risk based upon only historical data. And then you keep that money for your highest risk. So you actually have money to pay out so you don't go bankrupt if there's a fire.
Okay, so a house that's maybe in the middle of LA that's less likely to burn down in a wildfire, they'll say, we're dropping your coverage. Mm-hmm. We're keeping it for the high risk ones.
Yes. That's inevitably what happens when you either cap or what you say. The irony here is if you're a climate change person, you're going to say it was colder in the past. So now you have to project the future risk based upon the past without concluding that the heat is going to increase. So what you are going to do is therefore you have to amortize and arbitrage your risk.
I'm curious here. It seems to me like they would want to drop the high risk ones.
In some cases, they might be able to or not be able to.
Well, and especially in this case, like all the homes that seem to have been uninsured are the ones that are burning right now that are on sort of the periphery of Los Angeles that are closest to the, you know, the wildfire origin, like up in the hills, right? So, I mean, like, wouldn't that be the case for a health insurance company, for example? They drop somebody with, you know, a high risk for, you know, some condition that's going to cost them a lot of money to pay for, and they keep the people that are relatively healthy. Isn't that how that kind of goes?
It can go both ways, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to try to find your way out in each case, right? So if you designate an area low risk for fire, you might eliminate that. Or if you do it on high rate of fire and you've been paying long enough that we're out of contract, I'm just not going to renew the contract, right? So those are how you get out of those situations as an insurance company, I assume. So like the process isn't, we are malevolent actors who are trying to screw people over. It's we have a the important part here is we have a limited capital stock that we have to preserve in order to do payouts when payouts are requested.
Interesting.
It's not just infinite money sitting in a bank for fire. Right. That's not how it works.
Right.
And that's often the people critiquing all of this stuff right now is that they're just kind of assuming that there's an infinite money supply, like there's an infinite money glitch that we can just pull money from. So it's
that's
like
just for Ukraine.
That's we only have that for Ukraine, only Ukraine and Israel
and the banks. And the banks.
Which, well, and that's one of the mechanisms. Yeah, but also then I guess the
bailouts.
Bailouts.
Yeah, yeah
bailouts and stuff like that. But that's just kind of the lack of economic literacy that exists there.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it goes back to the argument you made before about sort of like the practicality of these arguments is not the sexy political issue to broadcast and run on and make a part of your, you know, campaign or your rhetoric. It's the emotional stuff. And the emotional stuff is insurance companies are evil. They drop people's coverage. Now their house burns down. Capitalism is to blame.
But and what we have to look at is why did they drop the nobody wants to look at the why. Did their coverage get dropped? And it's because, well, this the proposition 103, right?
And to be clear, I am open to the idea that an insurance company committed fraud or did it on nefarious purposes strictly for the profit. That's very possible. But in a competitive environment, what you would see usually is a greater increase of service to the customer in order to compete for customers. One of the things we do is we consolidate finance, including insurance, into a cartelized system, and then we're surprised when there's no competition.
Right.
So, like, that's the core problem, is just the 100 years of cartelizing all of these industries into a very small select few, and then blaming the cartelization on capital as opposed to blaming it on financial regulations, the Federal Reserve, and organizations that have been doing the cartelization.
Well, oftentimes in these types of conversations, if something seems like, oh man, that's really, that sounds really evil that X company did this thing. Oftentimes you just have to peel back one layer, go one order deeper and think like, okay, what was the incentive that led them to make that decision? And then you find out that there's some sort of government bureaucracy or government bullshit that has to be looked at. And then they have to make calculations based off of that. Right.
Right.
And then there's probably even another order deeper, and it's like the ideological religious practices that are happening for the ideology in this. Right. It's oftentimes not just as simple as, oh man, it's really evil what they did, you know?
Yeah. This always reminds me of Occupy Wall Street, and you have this specter, like the shark is coming at you, right? And it's destroying your economy. It's coming at you. And
I'm going to come.
Nah. And what you see and you blame and you spend all your rhetoric talking about are all the sucker fish attached to the shark, as if the sucker fish are the real problem.
They're called remora fish, just for the record.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, nice. So they're the little cleaning fish that
Bennett, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. He knows fish facts.
Amateur marine biologist.
Fish Facts with Bennett.
Our newest show, Fish Facts with Bennett.
Entering our new segment, Fish Facts.
Shit. Members only, though.
So rather than focusing on the shark, you start blaming all the banks that benefit from the shark's consuming of you.
Yeah.
Right? In which what was the fish called again?
Remora.
The remora fish. The shark's the one consuming you. The remora fish are just getting the leftovers, right? So that phenomena is so typical of the left. It really has to do, once again, I'm going to just harp on this, and maybe this is my new theme right now, is resentment is the core of that political value set that underlies it and informs it. And so when you start off with that, then you're saying, well, the government's us, and these guys are private people benefiting from, you know, this situation. It must be that, you know, they are in league in this way, and that's what's unfair. And there's a sense that that's true, but the primary actor is the government, not the banks. Right. Or the insurance companies in this case.
Right.
That is the Orwell argument, as he wrote in his book, Road to Wigan Pier, where that was his central thesis, was when he turned against kind of the English liberal socialism that was going on. The central thesis of his book is that a lot of the socialist ideology is not actually about uplifting poor people. It's about tearing down rich people. And we kind of saw that with the Hassan Piker clip. It was, to Hassan's credit, he wasn't doing it. He was doing more of a uplifting poor people, but it was his chat that was doing it.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, well, at least the rich people's houses are burning.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of go along with the healthcare CEO getting killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. It's the same type of thing. And it's a very Nietzschean argument. Like Nietzsche has a concept of resentment, or, you know, you can resentment, resentment is kind of a similar thing. But it's just an inversion of moral values that takes place. And I think the healthcare CEO getting assassinated and everybody looking at Luigi as this, like, this hero of, like, okay, we're now glorifying murder and things like that. That's a resentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a good place to wrap up, guys. Appreciate you for bringing all this good analysis. Appreciate you guys for watching and listening wherever you are. Please do like, follow, subscribe, all the cool things. Join us in the Discord. And if you want to become a member and get the members only content, which we'll be doing after this, a spicy stop and talk teardown of David Pakman, who has a lot of subscribers, a lot more than us. So we're punching up here. If you want to get that content, join the SCIF, go to humanreactionpod.com. For David Rand, Kyle Mack, Bennett on the buttons, I'm Joe Sheehan. I'm Joe Sheehan, and this is Human Reaction. We'll see you in the next one.
For more fish facts, stick around.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember, you just go out and you just rake the leaves, you just rake them all up, like, put them in a pile, you put them in some garbage bags about this big.
I have a garbage truck.